Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Christchurch. We particularly extend a welcome to anybody here for the baptism of Grace Lawrence. Just a couple of notices I've been given. There is no service here at Christchurch this evening. There is an Easter offering dedication service at Trinity Church at Farnworth at 6:15. If you need any more information or you require a lift, Rosemary, if you see Rosemary sort of after the service, she could arrange that for you. We also like to offer sort of thank you to everybody who contributed to the Easter offering. We managed to raise £155.30 for mission work home and abroad. Okay. Right. Is there anybody who has a birthday coming up in the next week? Do you believe... Oh, Lynn's got a hand up.
Oh, what? Lynn's got a birthday. Has she?
Oh, happy birthday to Lynn. I do also believe that it's Hannah's birthday on Friday and she's 18. My goodness me. So anybody else with a birthday? Now, I'd like to join together singing to those people then. Service, everybody is welcome to come and join us in the lounge for tea, coffee, biscuits. So at this point we'll join together in an opening prayer. We're here again, Lord, your family, in fellowship together. Friends, strangers, colleagues, neighbours, short, tall, rich, poor, an assortment of your people with one purpose and one aim, to learn from you and to worship you. Be with us in our diversity. Join us in unity through your love, that we might leave this place knowing that we have met not only with each other, but with you. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Morning, Dorothy. Yes. It's a particular pleasure to welcome young Grace Louise Lawrence, together with her mum and dad, Kaylee and Mike, and of course, Grace's little brother, Jacob. So welcome to us. We hope you enjoy this special morning. And just a few words as we gather our thoughts in preparation for the service this morning. Lord, sometimes we think of peace as an absence of noise. Loving God, we come to receive and to experience your true peace in our lives. So let us open our hearts to you as we walk with you and as the light of your love leads us home. Amen. Now, just before we sing our first song, the words of which will be on the screen, so you don't need to worry about hymn books and things. The first song is all about marching in the light of God. So have we got any young people who would like to march with some flags around church and let off some of that energy? Does anybody want to lead the way? If you do, or you just want to march where you are in your seats as you stood up, let the mood take you. But if you do want to kind of wander around with the flags, then that's wonderful. As we sing our first song, which is We Are Marching in the Light of God. Sure that we can march and sing much more enthusiastically. I mean, I know it's a cold morning and nothing like spring, but I'm sure we can be much more enthusiastic about that, particularly for nobody else, if you do it for baby Grace. So let's start again, and with all the flags and a bit of enthusiasm. So thank you, everyone. Please be seated as we start our service this morning with our prayer of thank you and our prayer of sorry. So let us pray. Loving God, thank you for our homes, which are very precious to us. They're often places where we can relax or be most at ease and be ourselves. So we say thank you this morning for our homes and the people that we love around us, as well as giving thanks because you also want to make your home with us and be so very close to us through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So we bow our heads with awe and with wonder as we think about these things in our prayers this morning. Loving God, we thank you especially for the opportunity of welcoming young Grace Louise Lawrence, along with her mum and dad, Kaylee and Mike and her brother, Jacob, into their church home this morning as we celebrate together Grace's baptism. Thank you for all her family and friends who've come along to support her. Help us to make this a place of welcome for them. As we offer you our thanks, so we also come to you and we say sorry for the times when we let you down. Loving God, you give each one of us a voice. Forgive us, we pray, for the times when we don't remain true to that gift of a voice, for the times when we don't listen to your still and peaceful voice speaking to us. Forgive us for the times when we don't listen to the voices of those around us, those we should respect. Forgive us for the times when we even try to shout them down. Loving God, we come to you and we say sorry for the times when we're happy for people to be voiceless, because it makes things easier for us. Help us to be true to you in all that we say and do. Help us to be a voice for the voiceless, to challenge where the world leaves others behind. So let us join all our voices now as a family of faith in this church home, as we say the words that you taught us, as I invite you to join with me now in saying the Lord's Prayer together. The words are on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. So I'm going to invite, we have a young reader for our Bible baptism reading. Grace. Ah. So welcome, Grace, and thank you for reading our Bible reading, which is all about Jesus being baptized.
Jesus is baptized, taken from Matthew 3 and Luke 3. Jesus' cousin John wore clothes made from camel hair. John lived on locusts and wild honey. He was called the baptizer because he was the holy man who called people to the river to wash them clean of their wrongdoing. God wants hearts to be clean as well as your bodies, he told them. Turn your cruelty into kindness and your selfishness into sharing. But how, the crowd asks. If you have two coats, share one. If you have one loaf of bread, share half. As he took them into the river, John said, I baptize you with water, but someone far greater than I will come soon. He will baptize you with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Jesus came to the river and asked to be baptized. John said, No, Jesus, you should be baptizing me. Jesus insisted, This is what God wants. So John led Jesus into the river and baptized him. As Jesus came out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Holy Spirit spread its wings over him like a dove. A voice from heaven said, This is my beloved Son who fills me with joy.
Thank you, Grace. Thank you. And I'm going to invite Grace's grandmother. I'm going to invite Julie to come forward now because she's chosen a poem especially for this morning. I just moved the microphone.
A message for Grace on her christening day. Our little angel Grace was sent from heaven above. As we celebrate her christening, we are surrounding her with love. May God protect you, little one, and bless you from above with everlasting happiness and with his precious love. May angels guide your tiny feet and bring you smiles to wear, and may our Heavenly Father always keep you in his care.
Thank you, Julie. So if I can ask Mum and Dad and our godparents and Jacob if they can come and take their positions by the baptismal font. So as a community of faith, we welcome Grace, Louise, Lawrence. Hello. And Mum and Dad, Kaylee and Mike, together with Jacob. Morning, Jacob. It doesn't seem that long since we were doing this for you, actually. And I believe you're going to start at school soon, aren't you? Yeah? Yeah? Are you looking forward to that? Yeah? Okay. So we welcome the family as they celebrate their love for Grace by bringing her for baptism this morning. From early times, the church has received children into baptism so that with help and support, they may grow up in Christ and by the grace of God serve Christ all of their days. Baptism is a sign of our church's faith that each one of us is born of God and each one of us belongs to God. Just as we celebrate the dawn of each day as a new beginning, so in baptism we celebrate new life with all the hope and blessings which that may bring. With baptism we're welcomed into the family of not just this church, but the whole community of faith. And we in this church thank Grace together with all her family for the joy that we feel to be invited to this her special gathering. So we begin with our promises. First of all, for the parents, for Mike and Kaylee. You have brought Grace here today in the presence of God and before your family and friends. And so now I ask you, do you promise to live a life of kindness and justice? And to offer to Grace not just a dummy, but love, support, and encouragement through all things and come what may. If you could reply, we do. Do you promise by God's grace to provide a Christian home for Grace and to bring her up in the faith of the gospel and the fellowship of the church? If you could reply, with God's help, we will. Now, you know, in a family, big brothers have an especial role. And it's such a special job that we have a promise for you, Jacob. So, Jacob, do you promise to help care for your sister, to show her love and kindness, and share together in your family for always? Yes, said Jacob. Well done. I think he deserves a round of applause for that. And now our godparents, Simone Bedford and Sam Vores, do you promise to care for and support in good times and bad, in agreement and disagreement, the family of Grace? Do you promise through all things to be a true and loving friend to her and to help Kaylee and Mike to nurture Grace in the Christian faith? If you could reply, with God's help, we will. I'm now going to invite the congregation, if you could stand as you are able, as you too make a promise. Just as you have welcomed Grace this morning, do you promise to hold her in your thoughts and prayers so that she may be cared for by your love and supported by your actions in the months and years to come? If you could reply, we do. By these promises, then, we rejoice that through all things Grace will never be alone, for we have promised to share with her the gift of God's love revealed in Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Spirit of all creation, from whom all children are born and to whom all children belong, we thank you for this shared moment of sacredness, a shared moment when the innocence of new life and the majesty and the miracle of birth bless us with the assurance of your presence. Amen. So, Grace, this is the good bit. Now, when I came round to your house the other day, you were so jolly and very smiley. So I'm hoping that you won't mind if I just borrow you for a second. That's great. And we show everybody your lovely dress. Yeah? How's that? Yeah? There's Mum and Dad. There's your brother. And look, all these people have come to see you. Just for you. So, Grace Louise Lawrence, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and welcome you into the community of faith. With this living water, I sign you with the cross. So here we are. This is the cross, the sign of Christ. Grace, may the glory of this moment forever live within us, and may the words of our mouths and the feelings of our hearts never betray you. We thank you for the joy that you give us, as we acknowledge that you are so precious in God's eyes and so very special in all of our hearts. Aren't you good? So, we're now going to say a special blessing to you. So if we all look at the screen and we say, Grace. Grace, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with kindness and give you peace. Amen. Well done. Well done. So, we're now going to ask Gaynor to come forward, because Gaynor's got some baptism certificates and a candle. Oh, and I think Jacob's going to help. So, do you want to just go back to Mummy for a moment? Yeah? Oh, well done. Yeah? You're going to help, yeah? So who have we got as helpers? We've got Jacob and Olivia and Jacob. Excellent. So they're going to bring you the baptism candle, which we're now lighting, as a mark of this special day. And of course, you keep the candle, and you may wish to light that candle for special occasions, on the anniversary of the baptism or birthdays, or just at a moment when you perhaps want to remember all the love and support that people have promised to you as a family. Okay. Well done. So we have a certificate for Mum and Dad to keep for Grace for her baptism. And for Sam and Simone. So thank you, Jacob. Thank you, Olivia. So we now come to the point in the service where we sing a hymn that have been chosen especially by Mike and Kaylee. Very appropriate for a baptism. It's One More Step Along the World. During the hymn, providing Grace is happy, we're going to take her and introduce her to her church family. And we're also going to invite you to bring your gifts for the life and work of this church. After we've had the prayer to bless those offerings, you'll notice that a lot of our young people will go out into junior church. We call it Cosmos. So any youngsters under the age of 16, if you want to go out and do all sorts of exciting activities, I believe we're not going to do paint and glue and things. So if you're all in your best clothes, you're all right. But there's going to be a few drinks and biscuits. So any of our young people who want to go out and be part of that, then you're welcome to go through to join our junior church. And you'd be pleased to know that you can take your seats again as we sing One More Step Along the World. So can I... Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you that we can travel along this world with you. We thank you as we celebrate so many gifts, as we celebrate the gift of new life that we see in Grace. We thank you for the gifts that people have generously brought. And we pray that whatever we do, wherever we go, that we follow in the light of your love. We bring this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you put your gifts on the table? So as our young people leave us now to go into junior church, then just a couple of smaller announcements. You may have noticed as you came into church this morning, there's a big yellow box. We're inviting you to fill these sheets in. You don't have to fill them in this morning. We've got several weeks. We're going to do it all the way through May. Because as a church, we're looking actually how we interact with the wider world and as we help others. And we're also looking at our church life. So we're asking people to put what areas of the church life that they think we do well. But also, there's another little question that says, are there any opportunities for us in our church life that perhaps we haven't grasped as we should have done already? So those forms are available. As I say, we've got all of May to fill them in. There's a big yellow box at the entrance that will remind you. So please prayerfully think about this one, and it will help us as a church as we move forward so that we kind of have the feedback of everybody who comes to be with us, whether you come to church on a Sunday, whether you come to our activities during the week, whoever, you are welcome to feedback to this. The other thing to mention is that May is the month for Christian Aid, when there's a specific Christian Aid week. When we try and support the activities, Christian Aid does wonderful work wherever there are kind of disasters around the world, wherever there are people who need supporting. And from May the 15th, that week onwards, is Christian Aid Week. We're marking that on the Sunday at the start of Christian Aid Week with a bacon butty breakfast before church. So if you'd like to come and have bacon butties before church, you don't need to worry about the calories that day because it's in a really good cause, because all the proceeds we're using is for the start of Christian Aid Week. So please come along and be part of that breakfast for Christian Aid Week. Now, each Sunday, most of the churches across the land, and indeed the world, go through a set of readings. So the readings are chosen by that. And we're going to listen this morning to the Bible passages that have been set for today. One of them is from John's Gospel, which I know Barbara's going to read, and the other one is from the Acts of the Apostle from the New Testament, which Karen's going to bring us.
Reading from John 14, verses 1 to 3 and 23 to 29. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. Jesus replied, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I am telling you is from the Father who sent me. I am telling you these things now while I am still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is, the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again. If you really loved me, you would be happy that I am going to the Father, who is greater than I am. I have told you these things before they happen, so that when they do happen, you will believe.
This reading is taken from Acts 16, verses 9 to 15. A dream gave Paul his map. That night, Paul had a dream. A Macedonian stood on the far shore and called across the sea, come over to Macedonia and help us. The dream gave Paul his map. We went to work at once getting things ready to cross over to Macedonia. All the pieces had come together. We knew now for sure that God had called us to preach the good news to the Europeans. Putting out from the harbour at Troas, we made a straight run from Samothrace. The next day we tied up at New City and walked from there to Philippi, the main city in that part of Macedonia and, even more importantly, a Roman colony. We lingered there several days. On the Sabbath, we left the city and went down along the river where we had heard there was to be a prayer meeting. We took our place with the women who had gathered there and talked with them. One woman, Lydia, was a dealer in expensive textiles, known to be a woman who believed in God. As she listened with intensity to what was being said, the Master gave her a trusting heart, and she believed. After she was baptized, along with everyone in her household, she said in a surge of hospitality, "If you are confident that I am in this with you and believe in the Master truly, come home with me and be my guests." We hesitated, but she wouldn't take no for an answer. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, Barbara. We're going to sing again. This time we're going to sing I Danced in the Morning, which is probably better known as Lord of the Dance. Please be seated. Whenever I go on a trip to London, you know, as you do, go around sightseeing, one of my favourite visits is to go to Parliament Square. The back of the Houses of Parliament is a kind of miniature park, really, with statues all the way around it. Here, for example, is, perhaps see on the screen, the brooding figure of Sir Winston Churchill as he gazes at Parliament. And around the square itself, and I think we've got a little map of that, yeah, around the square itself, there are many statues of the great and the good. So you've got former prime ministers like the Earl of Derby, Lord Palmerston, and for me, the really important one, because he comes from Bury, my hometown, you've got Sir Robert Peel, famously set up the police force. There aren't just important British figures, though. You've got Abraham Lincoln, and this more recent statue, because they do keep adding to it. They added, for example, the figure of Gandhi. But this one, Nelson Mandela, I know when I was there last, that was the one that everybody wanted to have their picture taken alongside. At the side of that Parliament Square is the Westminster Abbey. But what I hadn't realised is sort of roughly behind Nelson Mandela's statue is Methodist Central Hall. And Methodist Central Hall is, you'll see it quite often on television because it's hired for major events, political and civic and cultural. It's also the headquarters, effectively, of one of our two parent denominations for, it's also a church. And it's a church in a very special position because it's at the heart of all that political and economic power represented by the Houses of Parliament and the City of London itself. And that's a good thing for a church to be there because God also asks us to challenge. So this week, the church at Methodist Central Hall is at the centre of something of a storm. You see, the church has asked permission from Westminster Council to site their own statue, and this is a mock-up of what it would look like, outside the Methodist Hall, which you would think would be very in keeping with the fact that there are a lot of statues around there. Now, there's the mock-up of what they had in mind. The statue is called the Homeless Jesus, and it's a life-size statue of a figure huddled on a park bench. And there are already casts of the provocative statue in locations, as we'll see on the next picture, around America. So there's one in New York with somebody kind of nestling alongside, as well as the one at Vatican City where you can see the Pope blessing that monument. And in the centre of all that wealth and power in London, the monument of the homeless Jesus is designed to prompt public reflection on the issue of homelessness as it depicts Jesus hidden beneath blankets and only identifiable as Jesus by the wounds, the stigmata wounds from the cross, which you can see in his feet poking out of the blanket. There is a but, though, because Westminster Council believe that London isn't the right place for this statue. And they've refused to grant permission for the installation of the artwork outside Methodist Central Hall, claiming that the area is already saturated with statues. The former General Secretary of the Methodist Church, Reverend Martin Atkins, who's no stranger to us at Christchurch, he's been here, thinks that the council might have other motives, though. He speculated that the council's decisions could be based on fears that it might lower the tone of the neighbourhood. It perhaps also is too public a reminder of the problem of homelessness amidst the multi-million pound properties of the city. The latest figures from the National Homeless Charity Crisis show that 7,600 people sleep rough on the streets just in London itself. That's kind of two-thirds of the population of the whole of Little Lever. And that figure is rising. The number has more than doubled over the last 5 years. And kind of reminded just last night of that issue of homelessness, the Brooks family went and saw Heartbeat, the stage show of Heartbeat at the Opera House in Manchester. Shows how sad we are. And as it finished, we had the quite long walk from the Opera House to Victoria Station to catch the tram. And it really saddened me that in the hustle and bustle of everything going on in Manchester, as it is very active and lots of money being spent in all sorts of places, as you walked along that walk to Victoria Station, there were so many people huddled in doorways. Homeless people are some of the most vulnerable and socially excluded people in our society. Many have one or more support needs, 40% of alcohol addiction, 30% substance abuse, whilst almost half suffer from mental health issues. So it's no wonder that the Methodist Church, through Reverend Martin Turner, gave a public statement about their wanting to have the statue, saying, "We feel it is entirely appropriate to have a symbol of homelessness amid the wealth and the authority of Westminster." And so Methodist Central Hall are appealing that decision to refuse their statue, and there's even an online petition. There's over 1,000 signatures on it, so if you want to add to it, you're welcome. So it seemed very apt when the reading that was came up for today, that actually, and it will be one that will be read in so many churches across the land, that the reading that we heard from John's Gospel begins with the words, "There are many rooms in my Father's house." Now that reading is often read at funerals as the promise for us all of a place in heaven. But as Christians, we also believe that heaven begins here on earth. In the reading, Jesus promises us an advocate or a helper in the form of the Holy Spirit. That Spirit of God is the one who works through us to advocate for those people Jesus cared passionately about during his ministry. The poor and the dispossessed. You know, Jesus never owned a house. Hence, the church is challenged by wanting to install the statue of the homeless Jesus. Now, our second Bible story was about Lydia. It's the story of her baptism, which is very appropriate on a baptism day for young Grace. Baptism, of course, is all about being welcomed into the house of faith. And Lydia's baptism is of a special note because it was the first baptism attributed to the Apostle Paul in the Bible. And Lydia, who, unlike Grace, was baptized so much later in life, her response to her baptism and welcome was that in turn she then opened up her own home. She invited everybody in, and we're told even that she wouldn't take no for an answer. Lydia was a very wealthy woman. We're told that she dealt in expensive textiles, so her home would have been an impressive one, large enough to house what effectively became the first church community in Europe. So we gather today in this European church. We have much to be grateful to Lydia as she opened up her home and effectively started the church in Europe itself. Now, of course, the church isn't only a place for special occasions like today. At its best, it's also a home for those who are in need, for those who are troubled. To walk with people, as we reflected on in our very first hymn, as we walked in the light of God. And that's our promise to Grace this morning, that as a church community, we offer to walk with Grace and the family. And sometimes we need to know that we have support in our journey through life. And that was expressed very publicly this week by an ex-footballer and a football manager, Kenny Dalglish. He was speaking at the vigil for the Hillsborough victims following the result of the inquest this week. And he read a poem, and it's a poem actually that we have permanently on the wall here at Christ Church. As you walk out, you will see the poem of faith, which is called Footsteps. I'm sure many of you will have heard it before. And it's the poem where the writer shares his dream of walking with God through the story of his life. And that's represented by two sets of footprints side by side on the beach as he sees those footprints in the beach. But then the author looks again and he sees that at the most difficult times of his life, one set of footprints completely disappears. So he challenges his God for leaving him on his own at the times when actually he was most needed. And God replies, saying, That wasn't when you were left on your own. The single set of footprints represents the times when, at the lowest times of his life, God carried him. During the prayer vigil at St. George's Hall in Liverpool, both the Dean of the City and the Archbishop led prayers, reminding everyone that during the darkest days of the disaster, the churches were there for the people, and importantly, that they are still there. Being part of a community of faith means that you don't walk alone in our daily struggles for truth and justice. But also, God in Jesus promises so much more than that. "You'll never walk alone" isn't just a football chant. It's a promise that you are never alone in God. In Jesus, we're told in John's Gospel, in the reading that Barbara read, and we see the picture of that on the screen. In Jesus, we find a place of peace. Jesus says, "I'm leaving you a gift that's not one that the world gives to you. It's not able to give you." Jesus offers us his peace and his understanding. And whether that's for all those involved in that terrible disaster at Hillsborough 27 years ago, or whether that's here in Little Lever, in the trials and the joys of day-to-day life, we meet in this home, in this place, we meet in Jesus to offer you a place of peace, now and for all eternity. Amen. We're going to sing again, and appropriately we sing the song, "Let Us Build a House." Please be seated. Our worship leader for this morning is Barbara Ross, and she's going to lead us in our prayers for the wider world, for our community, and for our fellowship.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you for last night's sleep, and thank you for today. Help us to waste none of today's hours and to miss none of today's opportunities. Thank you for the gifts you have given us, individually and collectively, and help us to use them to further your kingdom here on earth. Eyes to see and perceive, ears to hear and listen, hands to work and create, minds to think and innovate, memories to remember and learn from, hearts to love and worship. Lord, we confess that we have not always followed your words. There have been moments when we've chosen other options, and we ask for your forgiveness and mercy, Lord. We thank you that you do not treat us as our sins deserve, and your love and your word permit a new start. As we move on from this place, may others see a difference in us. May we surprise others with the gift of forgiveness and our capacity to move on and make fresh starts. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord God, we pray for our community, for our teachers, for all our children and young people, for healthcare and social workers in their mission to improve the well-being of those who are sick and unwell, for volunteers, carers and those who undertake work for which they are not paid. We pray especially this morning for Mum and Dad Kayleigh and Mike Lawrence, their little boy Jacob and his little sister Grace Louise, who we have baptised here this morning, and for all their family and friends. We pray for our church today and everyone here this morning. Lord, guide and inspire our community in all we do this week and beyond. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for peace in our world, not just absence of war, although that would be great, but also that many will come to experience the deep peace of truly knowing God in their lives. We ask for wisdom and integrity for those who have power to bring these conflicts to an end. We pray for those affected by conflict and war, who've lost loved ones, lost their homes, for refugees. We pray for those in slavery and for persecuted Christians. We pray for those who feel that they have no voice, that they might as well be invisible, and that no one really knows them or cares for them. We pray for those who are homeless. They may feel this way, Lord. We pray that they might find their own special voice in you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for peace where we live, for people who have experienced who are experiencing now unhappiness or worse in their homes. We pray for those we love, especially those who are troubled and those who are ill in body, mind or spirit. We pray God's peace for those who mourn, those who find it so difficult to live without their loved ones. And we bring before you, Lord, those in our prayer book today. We pray for Kath Green and family, for Harry Dugdale and family on the death of his wife, Marjorie, for Les and Barbara Edge, for Olive, for Jenny Lawton, for Rita's sister Linda, for Alf Morris, for Jenny Warder, and for Dennis Ross. Lord, in gratitude for this moment, this place, this world, we give ourselves to you. Take us out to live as changed people because we've been touched by the living Lord and cannot remain the same. Ask much of us, expect much of us, enable much by us, encourage many through us. Living Lord, accept our lives and accept our prayers this day and every day. You have the words of eternal life, and in you we trust. Amen.
Thank you, Barbara, for leading us in our prayers. We come to the end of our service this morning. And just before we sing our final hymn, I just wanted to say special wishes to our baptism party. I hope you have a wonderful rest of the day as you celebrate Grace's christening this morning. And as it's such a joyful day, we're going to sing the hymn as our last one, You Shall Go Out With Joy. We sing it three times. First time it's really slow, and then it gathers pace until the last time you need to catch your breath. So you shall go out with joy. Closing blessing. Lord, send us out into the week ahead with trouble-free hearts full of joy, knowing that we are lifted in the strong arms of God, Creator, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that you walk with us wherever we go. Amen.